the use of eyeliner. So the hadith of Ibn Umar is the last hadith on that babko. عليكم بالإثم فإنه يجلي البصر وينبت الشعر. She use take the use of إثم as your eyeliner, because it will help you to clear your eyes, your sight, and then it will help you to grow your eye. Then we should know that that sunnah is connected to both males and females. The best time to use it is in the night, and we should use it odd number of times, as we have explained earlier. So this is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the use of what? Eyeliner. Regarding the use of eyeliner. So we go to another bab, inshallah. Babu Maja'a fi libasi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The chapter regarding what has been reported about the Prophet's dress alayhi salam, his dress that he wears, what has been reported about them. An Ummi Salama radiyallahu anha qalat, kana ahabbu thiyabi ila Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam yalbasuhu al-qamis. كان أحب الثياب إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يلبسه القميص. أم سلمة رضي الله عنها, we know her, هند بنت أبي أمية المخزومية. I think she's about the fourth or the fifth wife of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. After عائشة رضي الله عنها, the Prophet married who? سودة بنت زمعة. After her, he married who? حفصة رضي الله عنها. After her, he married who? Zainab bint Khuzaima. And then he followed it to Umm Salama. So Umm Salama is the fifth, I think in the fourth year of Hijrah, after the death of Abu Salama radiallahu anhu. So she's the one who reported this hadith. Says, kana ahabbu thiyab ila Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. The best of clothes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. It means he had other types, but the best of the ones that he wears, yalbasuhu, is what? Qamis, al-qamis, he wears a qamis. If you ask me what a literal translation of the qamis is, I may not be able to say. There are riwayat that explains it below, inshallah. From that is that, he is a cloth that free on him, alayhi salatu wasalam. His qamis is free. And it has kum. Of course, the ulama of even Arabic language say, every soul, every qamis must have kum. The kum are the seeds. Even when the reporter says that the kum of his comments is to his roots, the next or two, three hadiths we read now is a weak hadith. But any cloth that must be referred to as comments must have what? Kum, must have sleeves. Because he had rida that he wore. The rida, he wears it the way we wear clothes during ihram. The way a muhrim dress, the one up is referred to as what? Rida. And the one down is referred to as what? Izar. So he dresses like that too, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he has other dress. Sometimes he wears his jubba, that big, huge cloth that he just covering him up at once. And he has other types. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah discussed this at length in Zadul Mi'ad. In fact, more extensive than this, whatever you find in Shama'i, even when many of the reports are weak. But he gives extensive descriptions of his clothes, rahimahullah. So his qamis has sleeves, and the cloth is free on him, and that his qamis are usually made of cotton, not of wool. His cotton is qamis, alayhi salatu wasalam. What is described as his qamis is made of what? Cotton, and not of wool. He has other clothes that are made of wool, but his qamis, they are made of cotton, alayhi salatu wasalam. So a cloth made of cotton that has sleeves and that is free on the body is referred to as what? Qamis. It's free flowing on the body. So the one that is tight on the body and that's not free on him cannot be referred to as what? Qamis. Because if you go to an English dictionary, they tell you that a qamis is what? A shirt. And people don't have an understanding of a shirt other than the shirt that you know. Maybe Christian Dior, what's it? Christian Dior, what's it? So that's a shirt that people understand. But the shirt that he wears, the qamis that you translate as a shirt, is a cloth that has sleeves and that is free on him. It's not hanging on any part of him. It's free on him. So he wears that. I think what most of us wear here is suitable to be referred to as what? Kamis. One of the brothers in England, if you tell him to translate a kamis, he will say garment. He will not translate it as a shirt. He will say it does not fit into shirts. He says, so you call it a garment. You know, a garment can be whether you tie it, whether you just something you are wearing is called a garment. Then he can give you details of the garment and how it looks like. So the Prophet Qamis alayhi salatu salam is as mentioned, and it is from the best thing that he liked to wear. Alayhi salatu salam. Some of the scholars have mentioned, why did he like to wear that? He said because it's lesser in its weight on him, it's simpler, it gives him more fitting and all of this. Mentioned many reasons why he likes to wear qamis more than any other type of the clothes that he wore. Alayhi salam. It didn't mean that he did not wear any other than qamis. The next hadith is the hadith of Asma bint Yazid. She's also Umm Salama in her kunya. She said, or it was reported that she said, for the rest of us, that the next hadith will be hadith number 54. But it's still the same hadith that we read. That كان أحب الثياب إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Al-Qamis. And also the 55th hadith. So 53, 54, 55. They are the same hadith. But you see that there are slight differences in the riwayat, in the Asma'ul Rijal, in the ruwat of that hadith. If you look at those of us who have the complete Shama'il with the Asanid, so there are some slight differences in the Rijal that have reported them. Most times when ulama do like this, they want to make you understand that one of the Isnad is not sufficient. So they bring other Asanid to make the Quya. They have as Mutaba'at, these ones are Mutaba'at as I'm seeing them here, as Mutaba'at or as what? As Shawahid. So they are following themselves, not because they just put them there, they are Mutaba'at or Shawahid, one of them for the other. So we should look at the 56th hadith. But for the rest of us, it is the 47th hadith, the hadith of Asma bint Yazid, that she said, كَانَ كُمُّ قَمِيسِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَى الرُّسْلِ كَانَ كُمُّ قَمِيسِ, that the sleeve of the qamis of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِلَى الرُّسْلِ, he got to the wrist. But this hadith is bedeviled with what? With weakness. The hadith is a weak hadith. We know the rulings concerning weak hadith. So we'll not go back to discussing that. The next hadith, for the rest of us, hadith 57. Go. But for those of us using the Mukhtasar, it is hadith 48. That is the hadith of Muawiyah ibn Qurrah. And Abiy, many people like Muawiyah ibn Qurrah because of the hadith of Aqiqah. Muawiyah ibn Qurrah. You memorize it. The only Tabi'i many people know. Muawiyah ibn Qurrah. So this is the hadith of Muawiyah ibn Qurrah and Abiy from his father. Qala, he said, أتيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في راحة من مزينة لنبايعه وإن قميصه لمطلق أو قال زر قميصه مطلق قال فأدخلت يدي في جيب قميصه فمسست الخاتم. It says أتيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في راحة من مزينة لنبايعه وَإِنَّ قَمِيصَهُ لَمُطْلَقُ أَوْ قَالَ زِرَّ قَمِيصِهِ مُطْلَقٌ قَالَ فَأَدْخَلْتُ يَدِي فِي جَيْبِ قَمِيصِهِ فَمَسَّتُ الْخَاتِمَ. In the hadith it says, أَتَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. This is one of the ways of knowing صُحْبَة. since the isnad is authentic from the asl of the hadith, from the source of the hadith up to Muawiyah ibn Qurra, it means that the person from whom Muawiyah ibn Qurra is talking about is a companion who met the Prophet, because he attained to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's one of the ways of detecting Sufba from the loves of the hadith. So he says, I came to meet the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam في راحت من مزينة لنبايعه. He was in a company of people. When they say Rahat, you can say Raha, Arah. You can make either Iskan of the Ha or the Fath of the Ha. The two of them were permissible. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was with a group of people from 10 and above. That's why it says Rahat. So he said, he came to meet the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he was with a group of people. What did he come to do, or what did he come to do? لِنُبَايِعَهُ. They came to give allegiance to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We'll obey you, we'll not disobey you, we'll follow you, protect you, like that. Make bay'ah. وَإِنَّ قَمِيصَهُ مَحَلُّ الشَّاهِدِ. The point of reference in this hadith here, that his qamis la mutlaq was free flowing. This is the point of reference. His qamis is what? Mutlaq. His qamis is free flowing. So whatever you wear that's not free flowing, don't call it what? Qamis. At least if you call it qamis, it is not the kind of qamis of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I remember very well while we were in university, some brothers had used this to prove that you can sit up and put up a tulunuk and they said, the Prophet used to wear qamis. وَإِنَّ قَمِيصَهُ لَمُطْلَقٌ. The qamis of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is what? Free flowing. أَوْ ذِرَّ قَمِيصِهِ. That is the shape, the fitting of his, how fitting it is what mutlaq, zero. That is, how tightened is it? The tight, the breadth of it is what free flow. So the Prophet's qamis was what? Free flow. One of the things that had been mentioned about qamis also is that they have jayb. You see it here. The jayb can mean wherever you put your head or you put your hand. It could also mean the opening in front of the clothes, could also mean the jayb. The opening in front of your clothes, the jayb. I have an opening. You have this jayb. Jayb, jayb, jayb. So this is qamis. This is qamis, qamis. So it says, Qala, the companion said, فَأَدْخَلْتُ يَدِي فِي جَيْبِ قَمِيسِهِ. Jayb can also mean pocket. Like an Imam Ibn Battal said, could also mean pocket, could mean the opening, where you put your head or where you put your hand, could mean the jade. So look at the qamis of the Messenger alayhi salam. But Ibn Hajar rahimahullah and some others among the scholars say that this jade here is talking about where the head is put. He said, because if you put the hand in your pocket, if it is pocket, if you put the hand there, you will not touch the khatam. So he's talking about the jade of the neck. It says, فَأَدْخَلْتُ يَدِي فِي جَيْبِ قَمِيسِهِ. So I put my hand in the jayb of his qamis. Where is that? Perhaps in the neck. One of the scholars said, this is evidence that the upper part of our neck could be seen by other people. He said, he put his hand there. So in the jayb. Perhaps from the frontal jayb, the cut from the neck side down, perhaps from there, or from the neck itself. So he said, for I've come to hear this, he gave the permission. So I put my hand. If it is shirt that you are wearing today, you can't put your hand easily like that. What do you call them? Corporate. I don't like calling them corporate. Those shirts people wear. It's not easy to do that. So it's flowing. لَمُتْلَقٌ وَإِنَّ قَمِيصَهُ لَمُتْلَقٌ. If I put his hands there, his father's full heart, and I touch the heart of Nebuah. We have described heart of Nebuah. I touch the heart. Ulama said this is evidence that the Prophet was easy with the companions. You know, in the hadith of Salman al-Farisi, he noticed that Salman al-Farisi wanted to let it loose. See it. Even a woman in her case, she said she was looking at it. I want to touch it. I would have touched it. Radi Allah. It was easy. Ra'ufun Rahim. Bil mu'minin Ra'ufun Rahim. He was easy with them. He took his easy with them and was merciful to them. You want to see it? Khatam Nubuwa. Come and see. So you could imagine someone stopped you on the road and put his hands on the neck. He said, okay, you want to see it, okay. He was easy, alayhi salatu wasalam. It showed how easy he was with his companion. His famasas to the khatam. So I touched the khatam, the seal of the messengership behind him. We read about that seal in some great details. Let's quickly check one or two more hadith, inshallah. The next hadith is 49. For those of us with Mokhtasar, and the next hadith is 58. For those of us with Mutawwan, it says, and Anas ibn Malik, you see the note was its lack of Anas ibn Malik. It makes us understand which Anas are they talking about, Khadim Rasul, or Khadim Rasul. It says, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كان شاكيا فخرج وهو يبتكئ. Those of us using other tahqiqat, you will not see كان شاكيا there. It is those who have Shamai Mustafa that will see شاكيا. Don't worry, we'll come back to that inshallah. فخرج وهو يبتكئ على أسامة بن زيد عليه ثوب كتري قد توشح به فصلى به. Anas ibn Malik said, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kharaja wa huwa yastati'u. He came leaning on Anas, leaning on who? Usama ibn Zayd. For the copy of the report, reading from Mutawwan. But from those with Sheikh al-Albani's nuskha, he made us understand from the very beginning, why was he leaning on Usama ibn Zayd? Kana Shakian, he was complaining of illness, he was ill. Shaka, he had some illness with him. He had some weakness with him. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Fakaraja wa huwa yattaki. So he came out. Some of the scholars say it was the last salah that he performed. We can say it is from his illness. But to say it was the last salah, he leaned upon Abbas and Ali ibn Abi Talib. That hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. So, for his last salah. So, the best of all we can say about this is one of those times that he was sick. Allahu Akbar. فَخَرَجَ وَهُوَ يَتَّكِئُ عَلَىٰ أُسَامَةَ ibn Zayd. He came out leaning on Usama ibn Zayd. We know Usama ibn Zayd. Usama ibn Zayd is the black companion who was about 16 or 17 years old when the Prophet died, alayhi salam. He used to be called Hubbur Rasul, the beloved of the Messenger. Bal Hubbur Rasul ibn Hubbur Rasul. The beloved of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son of the beloved, because he's the son of Zayd ibn al-Haritha. And then he is the son of Ummu Ayman, the woman who, from all of those who knocked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She is a black woman, radiya Allah anha. But the father, Zayd, was a white, was an Arab. So he married Ummu Ayman after leaving Zaynab bint Jahsh. You know the story of Zaynab bint Jahsh. The only companion that Allah mentioned his name in the Quran, Nafsun. Allah ma'fada Zaydun minha. So Zayd, radiallahu anhu, his son is Usama ibn Zayd ibn al-Haritha. He's also the son of Ummu Ayman. He was the one regarding whom he was sleeping one day with his father, Zayd. So one of the Arabs had people, if they looked at your fingers, they can tell you who your father is. If they look at this finger, they can say, this finger belongs to this father. So one of those men passed by. He saw the legs. He saw the leg of Usama. He saw the leg of Zayd. He said, this finger belongs to this finger. Saying that Zayd belongs, and saying that Usama belongs to Zayd. But Usama was black. And you look at what the Prophet did, alayhi salatu wa sallam. There is not a thing that he did except that he had lessons to teach us. That's why he said, Fi Rasulillah. Laqad kana lakum fi Rasul, in the entirety of his life, Uswatun Hasana. Usama ibn Zayd, that is black, alayhi salatu wa sallam, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married or encouraged Fatima bint Qais to marry Usama after her divorce case. And she is Qurashiya. Usama is Mawla ibn Mawla, a free slave, the son of a free slave. The Prophet married her to a Qurashiya. You know what it means? It's like saying somebody who lives in Tunuwada here went to Katsina and say, where is the house of Umaru Yaradua? If Umaru Yaradua were to be alive. Or mention the one that's alive now, Lamadi Sambo. Please, I learned that your daughter just graduated from the University of Washington. Can I please see her onto my life? In this case, it was not like that. It was him, alayhi salatu wa sallam. Don't forget, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan and Abu Jaham had gone to propose to the same woman. And they are both from Quraysh. When she came to tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, no, leave Muawiyah. He beats women. You see, Abu Jaham is, so, look, he does not have money. Marry Usama. She said, wajak to me. I was not comfortable with it. Black man. No, this kind of thing. He says, so, but the Prophet Fawazaba near Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I was telling you, go ahead. What this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. Kitab al-Talaq. So go ahead. He says, so I said, okay, Prophet, I should marry you, I marry you. So the Prophet encouraged her to marry Islam. Black. So today people say, no, we don't want to. His house is his Yoruba. His Kogi is yeah, is Kutangul. This is the kind of things we talk about today. And for them, these things were strong in their communities then. But no one calls her, she's Qurashiya. Bilal ibn Rabah. He was a black slave. The younger sister of Abdurrahman ibn Auf is married to Bilal. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, one of the richest of the companions of the Messenger of Allah. His younger sister is married to Bilal. You know Bilal. He does not need introduction. So today people say, no, where is his father? Who is Bilal's father? Who is Bilal's father? Except that you know that it's Ibn Rabah. Kawai. Some of them don't even know their father. You just know that they are Mawla. Kawai. Free slaves. But their importance was in their taqwa. As free as he, you can't say who is Rabah, the father of Bilal. The father was hearing his sisters in the Jannah. So do your work. As much as you can say, you can't know his father. He's just a black companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was calling the Azan and he was brought into freedom by Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq and all of that. He was from the Awa'il, from among the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet heard the clasp of his footwear in Jannah. Clasp. So do anything you want. So you then ask whether Allah didn't create Al-Jannah for black people. So you don't ask that question. So the Prophet lived the life, alayhi salatu wasalam, of to bring the people ummah. He says, inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida. If your ummah is one single ummah. One single ummah. So what now only Allah knows. Apart from these bifurcations of tribalism, there are also bifurcations of Now, political parties. Some of these, one party hates the other person. They hate them first, don't doubt it. They kill themselves for it. They kill themselves for it. So where is وَعَتَسِمُوا بِحَدْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَلَا تَفَرَقُوا. So when they don't do that, the matter snowballs. And then people begin to mention tribe, people begin to mention lineages, who is your father, who is your mother. It's all not important to them. They themselves were the things that were important. And that's why she said, رضي الله عنها, after marrying Usama, all the women wished that they had been like me. So the women were wishing that, I wish I was the one that married Usama. They had deep thought for her. I wish that they married Usama. You may have wished that they were the one that were divorced to, because she was divorced before she married Usama. So, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam leaned on him. Kafalahu sharfan. This is another sharf. This is another honor for Usama. The Prophet was leaning on him. He made him Amir of a Jaysh. That had Umar, Abu Bakr, and Usman. Don't forget. Usama ibn Zayd. Radiallahu anhuma. So that day, the Prophet was wearing what? Thawbun Kitriyin. The Prophet was wearing a cloth that is Kitri. Ulama say Kitriyin refers to a cloth that has some a'lam. It has some signs on it and some lines on it. So don't ask me to start, why is it that your clothes had lines on it? So the Prophet he has said Kitriyin. Somebody, I've not seen anybody wearing a lined cloth. Have I done? Lined cloth. So he will do that, Alayhi. Like he said, he had other types of clothes that he wore, but the most beloved to him are his qamis. So he wore Thawbun Kitriyin. He wore a cloth that has signs on it and lines on it. The Prophet used it to cover up himself. There are a lot of explanations about this issue of tawashahadihi. Some said he placed part of it under his armpit and dropped the other part over under his right armpit and the other part over the left armpit, like the person making iqtida during tawaf of umrah, for those to make hajj tamattu. They say that. Some say no, he just covered himself. Covered himself with alayhi salat. But that cloth was having lines and some, you know, signs on it. So when he came out, he did what? He led them in prayer. But the point of reference in this hadith is what? Alayhi thawbun kitriyun qad tawashahadihi. He had a thawbun kitriyun with which he had done what? Covered himself. The last hadith for today, inshallah, is the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. Radiallahu anhu. For the record, using Mutawwal, it is 59th hadith. But for the rest of us, it is the 58th hadith. And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu, reports this hadith that كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم إِذَا اسْتَجَدَّ صَوْبًا سَمَّاهُ بِاسْمِهِ إِمَامَةً أَوْ قَمِيصًا أَوْ رِدَاءً ثُمَّ يَقُولُ اللَّهُمَّ لَكَ الْحَمْدُ كَمَا كَفَوْتَنِي اللَّهُمَّ لَكَ الْحَمْدُ كَمَا كَفَوْتَنِي أَسْأَلُكَ خَيْرَهُ وَخَيْرَ مَا صُنِعَ لَهُ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّهِ وَشَرِّ مَا صُنِعَ لَهُ. It says, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا اسْتَجَدَّ صَوْبًا. The Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he got any new clothes, he was wearing any new clothes, سَمَّاهُ بِاسْمِهِ, he will name it by its name. some scholars say sammahu bismihi, they gave it a name. Ibn Qayyim is from those who said that in that, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to give his clothes and his imamah and his qamis, his rida, he give them names. But what they depended upon to say that is a weak hadith. That he had an imamah, a turban, that he named as sahab. But this hadith is weak. So some scholars say that he gave them sammahu bismihi would mean that he gave them names. But some say no, sammahu bismihi is that he will say to his, oh Allah, you have given me a rida, you have given me a qamis, you have given me this. There are some refutations, but it is difficult to say this is not right. What appears most right, Allahu A'lam, is that he will call them, he will call them by saying that this is a qamis, this is an ijab, this is a rida. Because the evidence upon which people depended to say he knew them, gave them names, is a very weak hadith. So it's sufficient to just use the zahir and what is most common. If he had given them names, he had many clothes. Allahu A'lam, a report would have come to us with Afanid al-Siha that he used to name his clothes, that if he used to give them names. Or Allahu A'lam, it's sufficient to say that he will call them by what they are. And then he will say, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma laka alhamd, O Allah, all praise are due to you, laka alhamd, all praises are for you, kama kasawtanihi, for your, or as you have provided this clothes for me, all praise is due to you, for your providing this clothes for me. As'aluka khayrahu, I ask you for every good in this clothes. وَخَيْرَ مَا سُمِعَ لَهُ, and every good that is contained in the reason for which the cloth was made. Yes, ulama say خَيْرَ مَا سُمِعَ لَهُ is the sew cloth for the darura of covering awrat. They also sew cloth for the hajat. For example, those people who go to the nuclear plant in Japan now to pour some water or do some job, they are specific clothes. They wear this is min khayri ma sumi'a lahu. This is hajj, bal darura. The reason for sewing these clothes is from darura. So this is khayra ma sumi'a lahu. The reason for which the cloth was made itself is for the reason of sharia. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِهِ, I seek refuge in you, or with you, against this evil, وَشَرِّ مَا صُنِعَ لَهُ, and the evil for which the clothes was made. There are evil for which clothes are made, that is for khuyala, arrogance. There are clothes that people know that these clothes is for arrogance. Even if you want to buy them, they say, ah, one of our now stars, Eva. You've not heard it before? They say, no, no, it's not for IOP, it's not for Ustaz, for Bandiniani, for people of this area. So this is min sharri ma sumi'a lahu, because the reason why they make it is khuyala. There are clothes that are expensive that are not made for khuyala. There are clothes that are expensive that are not made for arrogance, but they are expensive. I'm sure we know that. But there are also clothes that when they are sewn, the reason is luxury and arrogance on the earth. Even houses, you say it is luxury house. So these things should be acquired, perhaps for darura or for what? Haja. You need it, or you're extremely in need of it, in dire need of it, or you have a haja for it. Darura is their need. Haja is need. The need, the intensity of the need in the case of darura is more severe than in the cases of what? Hajat. That's why they will say that ad-darurat tubihul mahdurat wal hajat tubihul makruhat. So if something is makruh, haja will make it permissible. But if something is haram, Darura only is what will make it worth permitting, because the need in the case of Darura is more severe and intense than the need in the case of what? Hajar. So here, it seeks refuge in it from the evil for which it was made. Perhaps even those people who made it for arrogance. But he needs it for, he needs it for what? Darura Hajar. To seek refuge. And take appropriate precaution. This hadith, we can stop here comfortably and continue from his libas next week. We should finish libas next week, inshallah, and come to his hoof for Rasul Alayhi Salaam. The hoof is the leather socks. There is no difference between the socks and the hoof, except that socks is from cotton and hoof is from what? Leather. Socks is from cotton and hoof is from leather. That is the difference in the two. So how his hoof was and all of that is the next chapter after this. Perhaps we can get into it next week with the speed with which we are going. It's my prayer that we follow and understand what he says, inshallah. Beg Allah to make things easy for us, to make us understand better than we try to succeed. If we have one or two questions, we can look at them, inshallah. Alaykum as-salam.
My question is, the top hadith today, especially in this hadith, now can we say from the same thing, from the Amun
al-Shaykh? Aywa.
Now can we say that anybody that is something like further than 58 has done is wrong? And the second,
well, the ulama say al-amru huna li-istihbab. So if the amr is li-istihbab, and we say also the use of ismi is also istihbab, لأنه جاء معه. So the use of ismid or the eyeliner is ala al-istihbab. Does not mean that the one who does not use it, who is not eyelining himself, has committed sin for not doing it. So the same thing, the use of ismid itself. We can say, look what he told us to use with ismid. But that is the mustahab. Other than ismi, there is no istihbab for it. I think that is the best of what we can derive from that hadith. Allahu a'lam. On the issue of the night, there is a hadith that he made iktihal while fasting. It is, and it is authentic. It is the evidence that fukhul or iktihal does not vitiate the fast. And if that hadith was not during the afternoon, it could not be used as an evidence to say that use of kuhul is permissible while fasting. Do you understand? So it means we may use it during the day. But he has encouraged us from this hadith to use it in the night. Allahu Akbar. It means it's better to use it in the night than during the day. Whether it is permissible, one could use it during the day. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum as-salam. Okay. 52 and 50. 52 and 50.
Okay. Alaykum.
Yeah. 52 does not have in the norm in this. 50.
And if you start from what you have explained, it not in the
well, the shahid for in the norm, if you look at those ahadith, That is hadith number 50. Well, I cannot see any of those alfaz here, what has in the name, except that first hadith of Ibn Abbas, the 49th hadith, third hadith 49, it has in the name, and this is shahid for it. It has in the name, Inda is zarf. It could be Kubayl, it could be Asna, it could be shortly after. Just in the norm is perhaps Riwaya Mubhama. And then that's Zaka Mufassira. I will take Mufassira. Is it clear?
So, we start looking for the extent and vibrancy of the analysis. Even better than those. So, I want to say that I think there should be guidance on what extent, what should be, what should you say, what should you not say, what should you like, what should you not like. And
that may be difficult to say. Because every person giving an analysis regarding a matter is doing so based on the information that we have. If you are giving an analysis, if the index for analysis is not just the information, again, it has to do with you yourself, your knowledge, your exposure to life, and then what is happening, how much of it that you know, and all of this. So their vibrancy, their analysis, and all of that, you only not find. Except if perhaps you are discussing with such person, and the person says makes a statement that is clearly, you know, contradicting a clear text or a qiyas that is clear in the Quran or in the Sunnah, then you say, no, this statement or this approach is wrong in the Sharia. But that does not mean that it does not have an analysis. You know, it does not mean that it does not have its own analysis. Then if you are worried about their, much of their knowledge about this affair, don't be worried about it. You need to read Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya to know how vast Ibn Kathir was about the matters of administration in his time. He was well versed in Ibn Kathir. He didn't write any other thing than governance and what was happening from time. Of course, when he started with Badul Khalq, commencement of creation. From after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of that, he was telling you what was happening in the Islamic empire from different countries. Social person, there are some rulers there, there are some rulers there, there are some. He was telling you, and he said, social person died in social, yeah, he was a useless man, he was not a good person, he opposed the sunnah, he was the social, yeah, there was a man in social place, he was spending money, he was not spending money according to Sharia, he was sent to scholars, we are talking to him, he was refusing. He was telling you about what was happening in the Buldan of Islamia, and the scholars of Islam are the most vast about what happens to people in the world. People used to say they don't know what came. They know what came more than those people who say they know what came. About 2 or 3 days ago, one of the scholars was saying to me that Sheikh Mumbaz, before he died, I will say something about this, that Sheikh Mumbaz, before he died, rahimahullah, whatever newspaper came out on the day, they will read it to him. Whatever newspaper came out on the day in their country, they will read it to him. So he's aware of what was going on. But that is not to say that a Talibul Ilm should be a Mutabi'ul Akhbar. Mutabi'ul Akhbar is follower of news. If there is no news, he does not know. People like Sheikh Al-Albani and Sheikh Mugdi discouraged that. Don't be a Mutabi'ul Akhbar. But perhaps maybe the reason why the people's views are high these days to have information is because the atmosphere is not is tense. People are afraid. You, are you not afraid? People are afraid. So they want to know every detail of what is happening. There is fear. aside voting or no voting, like some yesterday people are saying, ah, we thank Allah, we go there, Allah. No, there is one word the man used. He said the voting went peacefully. You could see the way he was saying, he was an old man. We performed for that magic together yesterday. He was saying, ah, we thank Allah. These are days there is no any time. But it is something that we've been hearing news from across this bombs. That Allah has given us this salama and afia is something great. And that's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abbas, his uncle, came to him. He said, oh Messenger of Allah, tell me something that I'll be begging Allah for. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are begging Allah for safety. For Allah to grant you safety and peace. He came back again. Messenger, tell me something that I'll be asking Allah. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, afia. 3 times. And he said, the best thing a man would ask Allah is al-afiyah. So he used to say, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat fi dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat. Oh Allah, I beg you for peace and safety in this dunya and akhirah. Allah grant you peace and safety in this dunya. He grant you peace and safety in akhirah. Don't look for it. Iman is there already. Taqwa is there already. Everything is there. And akhirah, he grants you safety. He grants you peace. There is no problem. You don't have any problem. So one day he passed by some people, alayhi salatu. He saw them suffering. He said, Amma ha'ula, amma yas'aluna Allah al-afiyat wa salama. Those people suffering, did they not used to ask Allah about afiyat and salama? Peace. So when this peace is threatened, people are not comfortable. You want to know what's happening. So that is the reason why it may be difficult to say people should not analyze those things or talk about it I don't think most people can help before talking about it today or yesterday. We are talking about it 2 years ago. They just live their life. But now, they are even asking, what did you hear? You are any problem? You say, no, I didn't hear any problem. Did you hear any problem? You say, no, I don't hear any problem. They just want salama and afia for themselves. Those people ask them, they didn't perhaps, some of them didn't even have a voter card. To make you understand, they are not here, they are just asking for their own salama and afia. Come on. You understand that? Allah. So I will not be very surprised about their attitude. Alaykum as-salam. We don't know the evidence for it. We don't know that he says we should make the dog and there's no gray hair there. Because he says, get you have change this thing. And he was the person he was talking to was having gray hair. He said, we should tell me about Sawai. Alayhi salam. It's difficult to prove. Somebody has to prove, brother, can we do gray hairs? Can we make the dog without gray hairs? If you say yes, we can. He said, please, hadith. There's a brother who used to talk like that when we were in university. If you say anything, say, brother, please, tell you, hadith. Then what he's saying is that thing you have just said, just give me one hadith. So if he says, oh, brother, sorry, hadith. What would you say? There is no hadith we bring now, inshallah, from Shamayil or from nearby. You see that he had khidab, alayhi salam. He had shaykh. Even if you have one, you can still make khidab. One strand. Make khidab. So follow the sunnah and make mukhalafa of Yahud and the last 2 questions. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Someone was sick and he was unconscious for some days. After he had recovered his consciousness, how did he feel unconscious?
La salatu alayhi. A young boy that is small, if he gets to age 13, how does he repay, if he gets matured, how does he repay back his salah? Now, he's asking someone faints, how does he pay back his salah? Except if it's within the frame of that salah. Someone faints, maybe immediately after the time we perform Salatul Asr. And before the time of Maghrib, because the last time for Salatul Asr is just before Ghurub, he wakes up again fully. The Salah is obligation, so he performs the Salah, Maghrib, and the Salatul Asr. So when this time goes, we say he was not available for Salah. Allahu
Akbar.
Alaykum
Salaam. The sharp in the...
No, you are not the one. The last two. You the second person. Because this is the last question we are taking. I don't see you. Okay, let's just take it like that. Ask, then he will ask. You take the two as.
How do you understand
what you mean? He said, why did we say wa yumbitu sha'r is the eyelids? Because that is where you have put the kufr. And don't forget that sha'r is alif wallah. So which sha'r? Is the sha'r that we know. The sha'r that we know that's connected to kufr is eyelids. Huh? Eyelashes, sorry. Not even the eyelids, eyelashes. And don't forget, that's one of the things about medicine in Sharia. Where you put something is where we expect the reaction. Except after those ones you drink. Ma'u zamzam ma shribala. Habbatu sawda shifa'un li kulli shay'in illa as-sam. I should, that can apply like this. We apply it to the eyes. Except if we have a text that can make us understand other than that. And I don't think I saw any of those scholars saying other sha'ar or other parts of the body. I don't see. If you see, tell us. We'll take it to jail. Alaykum
as-salam.
What is your
advice?
We will never accept that. That there are some scholars, quote unquote, when there is a matter and the hadith is, some say sahih, some say da'if, they don't know where to stand. They say, so, you saw a hadith as adaba, don't put it one side. You either know it or you don't know it. If you don't know it, please, you are the one that should go in Japan. So let others who have the ability to continue, let them continue. Is there anything that says in the Quran that you are the one to be the mufti in that issue? Say you don't know and you step aside. Come on. So those who know will step ahead. Your own scholarship has ended there. This is one of the greatest problems in our land, Ikhwan. People don't know their limits. They don't say me. They don't know. Go to another person. It's not common. So you see, is the mufti of Nahu, is the mufti of Balaga, is the mufti of Sulfu, is the mufti of Tajweed. He wants to be mufti again, Mustala Hadith. He is the mufti in Fiqh, he is the mufti in anything, Tafsir, everything is one. Ma hakaza ya Sa'd. Surah al-Ibn. That is not how Ulum is. That is not how these Ulum Shari'iyah, that is not how they are. And Imam al-Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, Shaykh al-Islam, he had some people he lived with. If he had problems in hadith, he would ask them. And Imam al-Hafiz ibn Mizzi, Abu al-Hajjaj, who prayed on him, Salat al-Janazah. Imam al-Hafiz ibn Mizzi performed janazah on ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He would ask him question, Imam, this hadith, what is it? How is it? Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. So you, what are you? Sheikh of Islam. You are not Sheikh of any Islam. But you want to be Sheikh of everything. So in those cases, we have problems. And let me tell you, these ulum, this ilm al-hadith is the difficult, most difficult area for a lot of people around us. We can't clearly conceive. Once they get into it, having to resolve the matter, they are in trouble. So they will scatter it. Look, just imagine when people read Bulughul Maram. They are usually in soup when Ibn Hajar bring one hadith and say Munkar al-Hadith, or he brings something else. They don't know what to do, how to handle the situation. So they now say, put the hadith down, say, nah. You just say you don't know. And leave it, go to the next hadith that you know. Because it's a definite science. Even in the medical field, somebody has a problem with the eye. Will you call a nephrologist to attend to that person? No. He said, me, I don't, I stop here, go to consultant, so. If people do that about the ulumu dunyawiyya, why don't you do that about ulumu shari'iyya al-ukhrawiyya? So it's part of not knowing one's limits. And it's a major disease in this community. You need to know one's limits. It's not a sin to say you don't know why you don't know now. Remember now what we say, it's even sharaf for you, that you know what you don't know. That means that you have knowledge. That's why you are saying that you don't know. It means you know what you know. So say what you don't know, Allah, Allah, please go and meet another person. Come on. So when you start hearing that from people, let's leave hadith one side. Let's speak Quran. You will tell you the meaning of the Quran you want to read. Because this meaning of the Quran was also revealed together with the Quran. And now you say we should put that meaning aside. Allah revealed the Quran with its meaning. Allah revealed the Quran with its meaning to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you don't know the meaning, don't say the meaning does not exist. Now, we should put that meaning of the messenger aside and take your own. Yeah. We should not accept statements like that. Even when we may not be bold enough to tell them, Allah, me, the wrong carver or whatever. Yeah, I mean, I won't take this one. You may not be bold enough, but don't put in your mind that this is not correct. Stop here, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك